Welcome to the Corporate Treasury 101 podcast. In today's episode, we discuss the usage of ERP for treasury activities with Daniel Weinblatz from Taulia and Christian Nich from SAP Treasury. Daniel is the Chief Product Officer of Taulia and has been leading product teams for the last 13 years. Christian is heading the Global Solution Management Team for SAP Treasury and Working Capital Solutions at SAP. In the episode of today, expect to learn how has treasury modernized over the past decades? What has been the role of technology in that evolution? How treasurers can now use ERP very efficiently for treasury activities? How do embedded finance solutions enhance the flexibility and responsiveness of working capital management? How does the collaboration between SAP enhance Taulia's value proposition and offerings to businesses? And like always, much, much more. I personally worked with Christian in a previous life, and it was a pleasure to have him on the show. Daniel also taught us so much about embedded finance and how Taulia enables this for treasury teams. We hope you will enjoy the episode. If that is the case, and when you're thinking about how you found our podcast, chances are that it was through word of mouth, social media, or a recommendation from your favorite podcast platform. And this is our only request to you. The best way you can support the podcast is to head to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Corporate Treasury 101. That will mean the world to us and help more people learn about treasury. And with all that being said, please welcome Daniel and Christian. Daniel, Christian, thank you so much for coming on the Corporate Treasury 101 podcast. We're going to talk about many different stuff today. I'm very excited to have you both on the show. And maybe let me start with Christian. And I would like to understand, how has treasury modernized over the last decades? And please take us through the different evolution, but also what technology has played as a role in that overall changing landscape.
Very happy to do so. First of all, welcome also from my side. It's a pleasure to be part of that podcast. Thanks for having us. So yeah, happy to answer your question as well. And I think it's not a surprise for the listeners that the role of treasurers has changed over the last decade. I think treasury moved out of the niche, and at the same time, it has shown the importance, in particular for many enterprises that have been in crisis mode. Some of them still are. So first we had COVID, then we had high inflation. We are still in a kind of an economic crisis in many countries around the globe. Yeah, so we also see global crisis, and that all together reminds every organization to have a good view on the treasury function. That includes to ensure the liquidity for a company, but at the same time to balance it with the financial risks that have to be taken. And last but not least, I would say there are a number of customers that invest more in collaboration within the finance function. So treasury is not isolated anymore. Instead of that, treasurer is becoming the steward for many decisions that have to be made on the global company level. So often being represented on the C-level as well, typically reporting into the CFO, which shows the importance of that function. And with that in mind, it has an impact on the technology that is being used. And we all know that in many large organizations, in particular treasurers, using bespoke systems, sitting sometimes in an isolated world of system and data, which is a challenge, because understanding the end-to-end view of a cash flow requires solid data. And lots of that data is related to the ERP. And this is where we are coming in. So SAP has invested in treasury in the late 80s already, to be quite honest, you know, driven by large corporates that have invested heavily into the ERP functions. And they saw natural fit of getting more out of the ERP system by unlocking the potential on bringing it to the next level. And our treasury function that we have as part of the ERP is basically divided into four layers, coming from the very operational part of payments and bank connectivity, moving then to cash and liquidity, including cash flow forecasting, and finally with debt and investment management and financial risk management, providing a solid environment for an end-to-end treasury suite embedded into the ERP. And I will talk about that probably a little later, but answering also the question related to technology, I think technology is an enabler to share data and most important data amongst the company, because a treasurer should have a certain understanding of, you know, invoice to pay processes, order to cash processes, in order to understand the cash flow of the company. It should also have an understanding of day sales outstanding, of days payables outstanding, which are important KPIs that are helping us also to measure the working capital position. That all together is something that we are seeing in the ERP. And what is technology enabling us for? There is, of course, with technology underneath nowadays, better connectivity using APIs to get data from source system, from the subsidiaries, from the ecosystem that are relevant to bring you to an end-to-end treasury position, for example, in cash position that is up to date in real time, showing the treasurer how much of money do they have in which currencies and at which bank accounts and which geographies. And this is one of the most important topics that treasurers have to answer every day. And at the same time, we are moving into a cloud environment more and more that helps to increase the adoption of software and services. And last but not least, there are lots of platforms in use today that allowing to consolidate data and making it sure for treasurers to be more effective to get the data that are required for the day-to-day business, and also linking them to underlying business data, for example, from logistics, for example, from record to report. The accounting function is also very important for many treasurers. And last but not least, to have a real-time view towards the banks. And the next level then is, of course, thinking into the direction of working capital and how to trigger actions to unlock new potentials, to unlock liquidity for the company. That in a nutshell is what I'm seeing as a big change within the corporate market for treasurers and how technology has enabled this change.
I really liked how you phrased it at the beginning. Treasury moved out of the niche. I think that's a very good way to put the emphasis on the fact that, well, for a long time, interest rates have been at the lowest. And all of a sudden, over the last years, you have interest rates hikes. You have foreign exchange deals that are going through the roof in terms of pricing, because it's a whole different ballgame. And all of a sudden, you can have an FX result that is destroying your bottom of the balance sheet. So you're like, okay, how do we mitigate that? How do we make sure we have somebody, well, being held accountable for it, but also how do we give that person the means to achieve success when it comes to that particular thing? When your cash is bringing zero or very low interest rates, it's something, but when it can yield 5, 6, 7% overnight, then it's a whole different ballgame. And how do we enable through technology this whole shift, and how do we put the treasurer at the forefront? So I really, really like this phrasing. With that in mind, and considering the fact that treasurers are becoming more of a strategic role, how do we enable them, especially in terms of integration? Because it's, as you said, it's very difficult to collect and aggregate the correct data when it comes to cash flow forecasting, for instance. With your experience, Christian, and the SAP's expansive role in enterprise solutions, how have you seen the integration and connectivity of treasury functions within the ERP evolved? And if I could further down the question, how is it critical for the company? Is it becoming more important? So what about this integration that needs to happen between the treasury function and orders from the company?
Yeah, happy to answer that. So it's an interesting question, because if you look into the data that you have just out of the box in your ERP system, there's a lot of elements that are very useful for the treasurer. Starting basic, Every customer has to collect bank statements to close their books into the ERP. That means you have an open item, you have issued an invoice, you're expecting an incoming payment from your customer. This is being supported, of course, by the nature of the ERP. So with that in mind, every treasurer can find bank account information in the ERP. And wouldn't it be nice to provide an entire bank account management functionality as part of that without having an external system in which you have to maintain and duplicate all the data? We always face the risk that you have data duplicates, that people within the organization may have control to data that they should not have. The ERP is typically fully controlled. So typically it follows very high compliance efforts that allows customers to make sure that not everybody can, for example, change bank master data. So with that in mind, bank accounts are in the ERP, bank statements being loaded to the ERP. So the first ask I'm telling every client moving into the direction of unlocking the potential of the ERP is switch on your cash management and you will see the global cash position. Of course, this includes, and you asked for integration, a real-time bank connectivity interface that we are providing out of the box. with a cloud technology that is very scalable. So that means not every client needs to build their own, you know, bespoke host-to-host connection to a bank. Instead of that, we have a platform that allows connectivity to Swift and to banks and even to other payment service providers, allowing you to get these data into the ERP system. So that's number one. To turn it around, talking about invoice to pay, also a process that is heavily covered by the ERP. So the question would be, why the hell would you outsource your payment process to another external system, making a system break, in addition to that, a process break, by moving the data to an external system which are not relevant then anymore for the ERP? But you need it. You need it anyhow, because if the customer is asking the accounts payable department, when can I expect my payment, then of course they have to look it up into the ERP, not into the TMS typically. So that's the second part of it. Again, it includes bank connectivity. But again, with those two elements of invoice to pay and invoice to cash, you are halfway on the TMS, because you have cash management available, you have automated payment capabilities. And if you like, you could even get a payment factory on top of that, in which you are centralizing the payment functions, integrating data from subsidiary systems, from business units, maybe even running an in-house bank. That's all supported. And the third layer, this is what really makes it interesting, is now that you have the cash management data and the cash flow data, you can come to a decision in terms of what is my working capital situation, and also, am I short in cash or am I long in cash? So can I do investments, or do I need to go for financing capabilities? So the natural option of adding Taulia makes a lot of sense, but even using traditional financial instruments, yeah, so would be a nice one. So we are allowing customers to manage the exposures out of the operational data flowing in from the logistics, from the cash management environment, from your sales data and operations. All those exposures can be measured. They can be linked to a treasury policy that allows you then to get an understanding on what is your balance sheet exposure, for example, but even to look into other dimensions of treasury and risk management to bring that to the next level. And then the final point is to trigger the action out of the ERP to mitigate the financial risk, for example. Yeah. So to initiate a trade, to do a cash-to-cash transfer, bank-to-bank transfer, or to do a money market fund or whatever you would like to do. Yeah. So all those capabilities are being given. The beauty of that is that in a finance function, all stakeholders that have the need for those data can access the data at the same time. So when you think about a CFO dashboard, it would be completed in real time. So they would see, for example, what is my finance status as of today? How much of investments we have done? What is my interest rate exposure and stuff like that? All those data are tightly integrated. And if, for example, you have a huge purchase order out of a foreign currency, maybe even with a commodity element in it, you could automatically bring that into the treasury function and manage the risk out of that. So that's the beauty of an ERP. And it sounds so easy. To be honest, of course, it requires a bit of implementation work. But in comparison to other tools and solutions that are there, it's a very solid investment because it stays for a long time and brings a lot of benefits for clients. So that's just, you know, bit of an example view on what can be achieved with a fully integrated TMS out of an ERP and how that matters.
So my next question was, can treasury activities be executed from an ERP? I feel you've already answered that question, Christian, which is perfect, but there is a lot to unpack here. And actually, I'd like to play the devil's advocate a bit. So you have treasurers in the industry still choosing to go for a TMS, or maybe to focus on one of the examples you gave. Why would you choose to go for a third-party payments provider, for instance, or payment system provider, whilst you can execute everything from the same system so you don't lose any data, you ensure optimization and integration, and you can actually benefit from all the integration optimization of that very tool. So there are some companies and treasurers choosing to still implement that additional payment factory. Uh-huh. Why is that, you think? Are there some particular needs that can be served only through that third-party integration? Is it maybe, and again, devil's advocate, but I'm also genuinely curious about it, is it just a lack of education about the capabilities of the ERPs treasurers can leverage but don't know that much about? Or why is that happening then?
Okay, to be honest, And I totally agree to your assessment. And I think at the end of the day, there are influencing factors of all dimensions. One of the influencing factors I'm seeing quite often is that sometimes in the corporate environment, there are sometimes barriers between a central IT department, which owns the systems, and with that in mind, often the SAP function, and the need from a treasury department, which has maybe an immediate action to be. In those scenarios, it's very obvious. Treasury wants to move super fast. They don't want to align with internal structures when it comes to IT updates, ERP updates, ERP release stages, meetings and stuff like that. They want to be independent on their own. In meanwhile, and this is then the second point, it's lack of education. They could have an SAP environment on their own, which is linked to their central ERP, similar to any TMS, but they would benefit from the central services. So this is what many customers mm-hmm. are doing. The third element, besides education and internal barriers, is of course that some treasurers don't want to have the full, I would say, visibility on what they're doing in terms of what other members out of the company would see, would influence on how they do their job, right? So they love to be on their isolated system, and they do a lot of efforts in having data analysts and experts that are helping to consolidate data out of the external TMS and bringing it often manually back to the ERP, yeah, or back to a central system, to a central team. So that's also a dimension. And then last but not least, I think there are some myths in the market. So myths are, it's always expensive and time consuming to get into that. The functions and features are not at the same level as we would expect from other vendors. But I could all of those elements and myths, I could probably provide with arguments and in which we could also try to convince clients to think into that from a different direction, because analysts have proven that the European TMS is in the same layer like the best of breed, and we just ended up in the IDC report in the leader section. We have lots of global customers like Sony and Volkswagen and Google running our treasury functions out of the ERP, which are very happy. And of course, you can run it in a full managed cloud environment that could run in weeks and not in months, with best practice content that is available, with built-in integration capabilities out of the SAP Cloud Platform. But I don't need to tell you all of those things. The last element, what I'm typically telling my colleagues out of the sales team, is if at the end of the day, the customer is not convinced, then we should accept it, because otherwise you can't run into a successful project. It requires willingness on both sides, and it doesn't make sense that you have, for example, an IT strategy that is dictating the treasury team what they have to do. They all need to do the job in its best way to support the company's strategy and mission, and then they should do their choices. The positive element is that the majority of customers that are investing in the latest version of our SAP S/4HANA, they have they see that a little bit as a given, that they need to leverage the new technology to justify the investment that they have done, right? To improve mm-hmm. collaboration, to improve the digital transformation journey, to improve collaboration amongst the functions, and to share data and to enable AI, for example. Because to be honest, an AI engine that focuses on cash flow forecasting requires data out of the ERP. And this is certainly not given to an external system. Think about payment behavior and the impact on a cash flow forecast. This all requires tons of data. So there will be even more benefits of being on a central system in the future than it is today.
Love that, Christian. And if the likes of Google or Volkswagen are using the treasury capabilities of an ERP, I think that's a pretty solid example that it can be done even for very large corporate with mature treasury departments. Daniel, let me bring you in here. What additional features do solutions like Taulia bring, especially when they are fully integrated with that very ERP that we just explained, can actually serve treasury tasks and treasury departments?
Sure. Happy to cover that. First and foremost, thanks so much for having me. So hello, everyone. I'm Daniel Weinblatt, Chief Product Officer of Taulia. So for those that don't know, Taulia was acquired in 2022 by SAP. So we are a deeply integrated working capital management solution providing capabilities across all of the working capital levers. So in the payables dimension, Taulia offers programs like SCF, so supply chain finance, as well as dynamic discounting. So with SCF, that is when you may use third-party funding to pay your suppliers early. Dynamic discounting is when you use your own capital and you receive discounts in return for offering early payment. We also offer solutions for accounts receivable financing. So if you find yourself in the position where you would like to accelerate your receivables, you can do so in an integrated manner, leveraging the Taulia solutions. We have virtual card capabilities that offer embedded payment infrastructure, and then inventory financing as well, which is one of our newest solutions and also offers early payments to suppliers. And we take financial ownership of that inventory and deliver it to organizations just in time when they need to pull that inventory. So it's all about the cash conversion cycle optimization. It's all about extracting data from the ERP, powering these capabilities. And then last but not least, we provide treasurers with working capital analytics and dashboards that help them optimize the performance of their working capital strategy. And we can do so with machine learning and AI. We obviously have a tremendous network. So millions of suppliers are on our network. And we also have quite a few very reputable customers as well and buyers on these networks that fund suppliers. And so we've been able to leverage this data over time to create predictive models that can, for example, help you understand what the uptake would be of your suppliers at various rates for dynamic discounting and help you figure out the right strategy, even at the granular supplier level. So our data is a big component of our technology-enabled working capital platform. And so, yeah, it's a journey for us.
So I really liked that you clearly broke down how the AI capabilities actually help the treasury function and in here how they support the whole cash flow forecasting, but also the overall management of the working capital. Talking about buzzwords to debunk, embedded payments and embedded finance feels a bit like some of the things you just described, but for me, they're still a bit blurry and they are also buzzwords lately. So would you mind breaking those terms down for us, Daniel, especially for the in the financial tech space? What do they mean and how is this technology enabling them? How do you integrate all this in the ERP and how do they, to get to the bottom of it, help treasurer in their function or can help treasurers in their function?
Yeah, for sure. So I think they're only a buzzword when you actually haven't executed against an embedded experience and when you actually don't have these capabilities. Otherwise, for a company like Taulia, it's business as usual. We can't offer our solutions without the deep integration and the embedded user experience. And that's obviously one of the reasons SAP acquired the company. But really simply, embedded payments refer to the integration of payment functionalities directly into third-party platforms, applications, or ecosystems. This allows users to make transactions seamlessly without leaving their original environment. And so in a similar fashion, embedded finance is exactly the same. It's the integration of financial services in non-financial platforms like the ERP, like other business platforms, like networks, like your e-commerce site when you have, let's say, an embedded offer to finance a purchase, or let's say you're leveraging Amazon and you have your credit card lodged in the platform in order to check out. These are real world examples in the B2C landscape, embedded payments and embedded financing. Financing is really just what essentially Taulia does when we make opportunities available for early payments to suppliers. So key characteristics of this includes obviously the integration. So having API connectivity, you can't have financial services or payment offerings unless you have the technology capabilities to offer that. This creates a more seamless user experience. So in our case, it's on all sides of the network for our buyers, for our suppliers, and also technically our investors also benefit from this with our multi-funder connectivity. It also provides opportunities to create really diverse use cases and to get really creative and democratize access to financial services and payment capabilities. Treasurers obviously benefit from this because there's efficiencies in workflow. So they don't have to leave existing systems. They can see the data in real time. They can make offers available. They can execute against working capital strategies. If, for example, they want to pull one of the levers to improve their working capital, they can do so with any of Taulia's products based on what they need. When you think about, let's say, even an embedded payment solution like a virtual card, being able to run your normal payment run and execute against these processes in the ERP ERP, execute against the payment without any additional uplift, receive rebates on your spend, but also automate all of the reconciliation as well for all of the general ledger movements. That's really powerful because that saves their teams a lot of time to be able to have this end-to-end reconciliation, end-to-end process, data at your fingertips, automatically updating. That could also transfer to Christian's products in treasury. So being able to feed data into cash forecasting as well. When all of your data is in one place and it's fully connected, not only can you make more real-time decisions, more informed decisions, you can streamline processes, give your entire ecosystem a better experience, and you have it all in one system of record. So it cuts down technology costs for you as well. Obviously, this does not mean that there's not a tremendous amount of challenges that companies face trying to execute against embedded solutions. But the benefits, in my point of view, far outweigh the costs of trying to work with these types of solutions.
Yeah, love that, Danielle. If I were to bring it into layman's terms or Guillaume's terms, just to make sure I understand it correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong. So when I think about embedded payments, I'm seeing my Amazon carts and like I want to purchase a few products. The fact that I can pay directly on that platform, that it gives me all those options to put my credit card details or pay via PayPal or even do a bank transfer, that's what we can call embedded payments. It's embedded in the platform where I want to do the purchase, so it's facilitating it. So they actually are removing friction from me, the customer, paying my supplier, in that case, Amazon. Embedded finance would be exactly the same function, but instead of paying directly, they would propose me a 4x payment scheme, for instance. And that's how they are financing directly within the platform because they are embedding those services in it. Is that a correct understanding of the very basic of embedded finance and payments?
Yeah, absolutely. Although there's different financial instruments, so it doesn't just have to be like a buy now, pay later or a lending capability. It could be insurance. It could be, again, investment capabilities. There's multiple financial instruments at your fingertips inside of a process that enable the actual business to execute against whatever its objective is. Even escrow services. So like you think about marketplaces and, you know, being able to create that sort of risk mitigation, that would be an example of embedded finance as well. But other than that, I think you nailed it.
Awesome. Makes a lot of sense. So bringing it to treasury then. What you do is basically you embed those functions that Taulia proposes separately, but you embed them into that ERP. So treasurers can actually benefit from those functions without leaving their legacy system, which is SAP in that particular context. So you are enabling them to execute all those additional treasury tasks without leaving their platform. So again, all the benefits, not losing any data, gaining efficiency, making sure it's safe as well. You limit the risk, you mitigate the risk, right? By transferring data from one system to another, you take the risk that some data is lost whatsoever. So makes a lot of sense, and that's super interesting. How do you think that those embedded finance solutions enhance the actual flexibility and responsiveness of working capital management? Because I would like us to put the finger on this is why it's more efficient than actually going through another system and connecting it and going through the burden of implementation and so on. Why embedding it in my legacy ERP or legacy treasury module of SAP makes it better for my treasury function?
Yeah, so first and foremost, it's real-time visibility. So for example, as soon as that invoice gets approved, you can now offer financing capabilities, early payment to your supply chain. So this allows businesses to make informed decisions and also adjust their working capital strategy based on current financial conditions as well. So as you see information come in, you're able to take actions on it. The second, of course, is the automation. We talked about that extensively. So reducing manual errors, accelerating transactions, streamlining workflows, automating reconciliation. That's a big piece of it as well. So if you're executing against, let's say, a receivables financing strategy, being able to have your system do all the work for you, closing out that invoice, enabling remittance information to be available in one system. So again, that connectivity, that unification of data, which streamlines all of your processes, regardless of the working capital strategy that you employ. You can also do dynamic forecasting. So again, as we talked about cash forecasting capabilities, a lot of what Taliyah does can feed into any type of dynamic models that you may have. So having it all in the ERP, which feeds into other systems like a treasury management, makes perfect sense. And then also the other piece is that we have all of the visibility with the transaction data as well, which mitigates risk for investors. So when you can say definitively that you have the visibility to an approved invoice based on the records in the ERP, you're also able through Taliyah's multi-funder model to get competitive costs and competitive financing because you're able to be to provide that data and show that there is an actual approved invoice. So you can lower your financing costs by using this information in your system of record. So those are all benefits to treasurers by using embedded financing and those capabilities.
Makes absolute sense. I'd like your take on that. I think so. Danielle touched upon it quickly at the beginning of her explanation on embedded finance. So for the listeners who are listening to us but don't know, it's SAP acquired Taliyah in 2022, right? Can you tell us a bit more about that and maybe bringing this episode to an end, also understanding why this acquisition, but what from your perspective, what was the intention behind it and what fruits have you yielded from it? And by this question, I mean, how does it benefit treasurers? Because that's ultimately what you want to achieve, right? Serving better the treasurer departments to make sure they have better capabilities, faster, real time, ideally. So was it the whole intention behind it, or what was the strategy when you made that decision?
Okay, so yeah, that's an interesting one. So as Danielle has already said, the acquisition was done in March 2022. And the reason for that was there were particular factors that have influenced the decision. First and foremost, I think the company SAP is also going through a transformation. And as Danielle has rightfully said, Taliyah has been very successful in providing, you know, working capital solutions out of a multi-funder platform, which unlocks also new potential for SAP. We should not forget that SAP plays a major role, not just as an ERP provider, but at the same time, we have a huge business network, in particular for our buyers and suppliers, in which we are connecting those to the world. We have a lot of demand for those kind of solutions. And then the third aspect being, from a treasury element or from an office of the CFO element, we always had out of the box integration capabilities on how to get accounts payable, accounts receivable data into working capital solutions, or maybe even to bespoke bank solutions and bank programs, but they were not natively integrated. And Taliyah's founders have been former SAP employees. And I think the USP for Taliyah is in particular that they have a very, very deep understanding of the SAP processes. And this is an asset. It makes it a very complementary solution offering on an even modernized platform, right? So the Taliyah technology team understands the invoice to pay and the order to cash process. They know where they can unlock the data, natively integrate them into their platform in providing additional elements of flexibility on the platform. That supports new business models for SAP, which is super relevant in today's environment. And second, it underlines also the investment that customers are doing on the SAP ERP, or nowadays S/4HANA element, which then provides the capabilities on unlocking the potential. And we are embedding even Taliyah solutions like virtual card into our standard environment within the ERP environment, for example, into the payment program and stuff like that. So this all together, these have been facts in which we have seen clearly the value of this. And at the same time, of course, the biggest portion of value that we are often seeing as part of a digital transformation for companies is the finance function. And finance is a hot topic, and the CFOs have a huge interest in getting more out of the technology. And the combination of Taliyah plus ERP and the embedded treasury function is a very good fit. And this is unique, and it helps us. And last but not least, I think we are getting new talents into our broader company view, which is also a big asset. And we can benefit from each other. For example, while the Taulians typically talking to the buying center very closely to the CFO, our sales forces are often enough involved in discussions on the CIO level. Of course, they're also talking to the CFO, but now the combination of the two is a perfect fit, and we see lots of benefits also of our joint go-to-market, and this makes it so relevant. And last but not least, I like the platform approach. We from SAP, we are typically trying to be as much as possible bank agnostic in order to provide flexibility and variety for our clients, depending on their geographies, the industry that they're serving, and also their particular needs. So those kind of platforms, same applies for our bank connectivity platforms, will be all typically bank agnostic, and that was also provided within the SAP, within the Taulia platform, which was very good. Just to add to this, maybe for the listeners, we keep Taulia as an operating independent company within the group of SAP, basically, which is represented by the CEO of Taulia and the leadership. And there is a combination of four senior executives from SAP joining the Taulia board. With that, we have a very strong collaboration and alignment between the two companies.
That's very cool. And I actually didn't know that the founders are former SAPers. Yeah. So I want to say that the apple didn't fall very far from the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very cool. Yeah. So Daniel, maybe
for the listeners, we have to admit that those guys are not any longer with Taulia. I think doing other very interesting stuff these days in other areas.
New ventures.
Out of the financial service industry, I would say.
Daniel, maybe to bring this episode to an end, how does the collaboration with SAP, well, more than the collaboration, obviously, but you get me, how is it working from a Taulia's perspective? Like, how does it enhance the value proposition that you think you are offering to businesses? And maybe to pinpoint some actual benefits, are there some immediate or future features that clients can expect from this Synergy's collaboration?
Sure. So first and foremost, we collaborate directly with the SAP engineering and product teams to co-develop capabilities. So that gives us, again, the opportunity to not use the buzzword, but embed our solutions very deeply inside of the SAP Business Network, as well as the ERP. We also go to market together. So Christian brought up a really good point. We're able to bring together two key decision makers, the CIO and the CFO, plus the treasurer, to make joint decisions and collaborate. So that allows for continued innovation to bring together a suite of solutions to our clients. It also really creates a roadmap for global scale. So we continue to think through how we can be in every single country that SAP does business. So this puts pressure on us to think ahead, to plan our roadmap, to have, let's say, direct integrations with certain financial providers and institutions in certain countries where we would need to have a direct integration to support supply chain finance, for example. And so we use their technology, we leverage BTP, we do a tremendous amount of innovation as we think about the future together. And so I just want to mention a couple things. Last year, we launched our capabilities inside of the SAP Business Network for payables finance, the year before for receivables finance. We also now offer one direct integration into the business network. You don't have to separately connect your ERP if you're leveraging the Managed Gateway add-on. You can now have one integration with the SAP Business Network, as well as the ERP, and then leverage all of Taulia's capabilities inside of the business network. We obviously are fully, deeply integrated across all of our products inside of all of the SAP ERP versions, which is really, really great. And then some of the expectations for this year include capabilities for expanding AR. I think I touched on some of those with some of the automation, being able to see remittance information, close out invoices that are sold. So there's a lot more coming in terms of creating these magical automated, fully reconciled experiences, visibility, ease of use, and then again, connecting all of these capabilities to our multi-funder network, those will continue. And again, it'll be really hand in glove as we think about collaborating with the SAP product and engineering teams to get this done. So I'm really excited about 2024 and the future and all of the amazing solutions we can bring to the market together.
I love treasury magic, Danielle. So very much looking forward to it. That sounds absolutely perfect. Thank you both. That was an absolute blast. Much more of an understanding of how we can execute treasury tasks from an ERP directly, especially with SAP. So thanks a lot for that, Christian. And a masterclass, I would say, on embedded finance and embedded payments. So thanks a lot, Danielle, as well. If people would like to know more about you both, Taulia or SAP, where should they go?
So for customers interested in SAP's treasury solutions, of course, I invite them to check our website, which is very easy, zap.com/treasury. And then you will find all the nice information. Danielle, I'm sure you know the best source for Taulia.
Sure. So it would be our website, www.taulia.com, T-A-U-L-I-A.com. So that's where you should check us out or find us on LinkedIn as well.
Same here. And I would also invite listeners to read through the Journeys to Treasury report, which gives also a good compendium and some insights on how SAP is supporting that initiative. And you are more than familiarized with the program as well.
Absolutely. And we already had a shout out as well from Bruno, whose episode has been released now, I believe, at the time we record. So absolutely check out the Journeys to Treasury. Excellent report from the year 2023 and definitely a good highlight of what's going to happen in 2024 and what people are doing in the space. Thank you so much, both. We'll put all the links in the description. So if you're listening to this right now and would like to know more, just check out the show notes and you'll have all the links to all the different websites and the LinkedIn page of both SAP and Taulia. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Have a good time.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Christian.